and Ask the Mayor, our public affairs program, and of course, always, our Ottawa Mayor, Patrick Taylor. And a happy Grandparents' Day to you, and you're with your grandson fishing on Lake Sequoia.
We were doing that on the Labor Day weekend. Contrary to popular belief, there are fish in Lake Sequoia, and my grandson and I caught about 20. Now, here's the good news. They were nice little brim. We also had a fish fry at our house, which I coming from growing up in South Georgia, a fish fry with cheese grits and coleslaw topped with a dessert of vanilla ice cream and fresh peaches. You just can't beat that cuisine.
I can see that look on your face like it brought back your childhood.
Yeah.
You would come in on Thursday, and then you had a town picnic for employees, and then about 3 o'clock, then the spill.
I thought it was a wonderful beginning of Thursday. We had the Blue Hound barbecue folks serve lunch for our employees. That was a great thing because we recognized people that have been with the town for so many years, like a 15-year recognition, a 25-year plaque, and so forth. So that was great. And then after that, I went home and got into my pottery studio. I was working on some projects that I've been delayed in doing. Only get a call from Josh Ward saying, "Mayor, we have a problem. There's a chemical spill," which kind of stood the hairs on the back of my head up because I know those are serious situations. Immediately went to Harris Lake and realized that there was a green substance in the lake. And by the time I got there, the first responders from Macon County, Jimmy Teen, who's in charge of emergency management for the county, and the fire marshal was there. Highlands Fire Department was on scene. The folks from Macon County Schools, they were there. We had realized that there was a spill of glycol that is used in their heating and cooling system. And Jimmy Teen especially was trying to find the source, where the breach occurred, and then where it was coming out and entering into Harris Lake. So that took about an hour to ascertain what the situation was and stop the leaking. And then the remedy is to dilute and to flush the material, which was done. And to the county's credit, they called in the state water quality people immediately. And by Thursday evening, they were on site testing the water at Harris Lake. Then on Friday, they extended their testing. Again, they tested Harris Lake and Mirror Lake and came back that afternoon indicating that there was no contamination. That glycol, when you dilute it and it's exposed to sunlight and heat, it biodegrades very soon. So that was a relief for all of us. I know the county's still probably looking, how did this happen? How we can make sure that that won't happen again? But I thought it was a great team effort. We take those kind of incidences very serious here on the plateau.
And appreciated your text and a synopsis of what happened. And then, boom, went right to the Highlands Out.
The Highlands Out was very helpful for us to get out the word to the public. Here's what I want to plug again. Everybody needs to have on their cell phone the Highlands Out. And one other thing I would encourage people to do, once you download that app, look up the right-hand corner on the app. You'll see a settings icon. Open that up and activate the notification system. So when we do send out a warning that a new message is available and you can go see what the situation is. I can't emphasize, as we go toward hurricane season, and hopefully we won't have any tropical storms come our way, but having that app available is your way of really finding out what is happening. Or the town website does the same thing, and it was posting messages also. I go back and reflect on what happened during Helene a year ago. What can we do better? Getting the town out and upgrading our website to be able to communicate with people has been a positive outcome of that terrible September experience last year.
I know. I appreciate it, too, so we can get things out on the air. And then, of course, you contact me and send me information.
Absolutely.
So appreciate that.
And, you know, Steve, that's another thing that I want to emphasize to people. Make sure you have an emergency radio or some type of radio, because during Helene, you guys at the radio station had the ability to keep putting out information, even though the cell phone system was down, power's down, you had your generators, y'all were still broadcasting.
I even have one of those little crank portable radio. Electric lines, that third circuit, the crews have been postponing some of their work because, well, obviously the rain.
They were at schedule or maybe a little bit ahead, but then we had this cycle of heavy rains and they can't work in those kind of conditions. So they are now behind somewhat. They'll be trying to catch up in the coming weeks. They have also decided to work at night instead of during the day and avoid the traffic issues. It's not ideal for them to work at night, but that's the way they can address the delays. I was in my pottery studio the other night working until about 12 o'clock on a project, a piece that I just love. And as I was cleaning up, I started hearing some guy shouting or something. And I said, what in the world's going on? And I stepped out of my studio and it's only about 400 yards from 64. And they had their lights out and they were doing some kind of work and they were just talking to one another about pulling the line or whatever. It reminded me, yes, they're working at night.
Little Bear Pen, the flashing warning lights going in and out of Little Bear Pen so we can slow down. How's that work going?
I don't micromanage that. It seems like it's been a real challenge because of the rock formations that had to be avoided and they did the aerial connections. It's a pretty complicated system, actually. So they're working on that, and the good news will be when those lights start flashing and they're activated.
I slowed down the curve, especially with people coming in and out of Little Bear Pen. I can't wait for that to be completed.
Well, I'll tell you my concern, and that is I hope people don't just rely on the lights, that they still use their caution and looking both ways. It could promote potential for more accidents than what we've had. We haven't had that many accidents, if at all, in that area, but I urge motorists to still use visual observation of traffic is very important.
Not in a NASCAR event heading around the turn.
That's right.
All you Ricky Rudds. The Dog Mountain water line, that continues.
We had a pre-construction meeting several days ago. The town manager, the town engineer met with Stillwell Enterprises, the contractor. They have notified the key residents on Dog Mountain to spread the word to that neighborhood. Construction begins on September the 15th. I know the contractor is going to meet with some of the residents, kind of give them an overview of what will be going on. But they'll start around September the 15th and probably go through February. It's a major $3.5 million project. So it's going to take some time and disruption. They will not work on the weekends for the folks at Dog Mountain. That will be helpful. But they will be working from early morning until the evening to make as much progress as possible.
Somebody took your advice and has come up with some kind of a plan or how to save the playhouse. And you were saying, well, if you got $3.5 million, and then what do you do?
Someone wrote a letter to the editor about saving the playhouse this week, suggested that the CLE could use it as their venue. We've thought about that. Here's the problem. CLE is challenged with parking now because it's such a popular venue at the Peggy Crosby Center. The parking at the playhouse would not be any better. In fact, it'd be worse, and here's why. You have the police department, and you have parking there for employees of businesses. So any given morning and day during the week, that parking lot is full. The public parking, where we have our employees park and our police cars park, Hotwire people use it, that parking lot is pretty much full every day. So my point is, that would not improve the parking issue for CLE at all. Yes, let's spend $3.5 million basically tearing the building down and rebuilding it the way it was. But the question is this. Once you build it, who will maintain it? Who will operate it? It's a pretty big, ambitious effort just to keep a facility like that in good repair and operative. My feeling is the community has spent $14 million for the PAC Center. If somebody wanted to direct that kind of money, wouldn't it maybe be better spent by enhancing the PAC Center, adding a small theater there, or directing it toward some other needs that we will be facing in the coming years here? I know people hate to see the playhouse, you know, demolished. I know there are a lot of wonderful things that happen there, but I just don't see why we should continue to try to preserve that building when we really don't have a concept of a use for it. That's kind of where I stand on it. If you go back and look at the original Kelsey Hutchinson maps, that was designated as a park. That's one possibility. I don't know. We'll have to be open to ideas about how to repurpose that property, but that's where we stand, and that's my opinion about how we need to address this issue.
We've already established that you were with your grandson on Lake Sequoia fishing, caught 20 fish there, and I mm-hmm. know, and I know not to talk with you while you're running or while you're fishing, but you were noticing the...
And by the way, Steve, I've had people pull up and want to get out and talk to me, and it's not well received on my part. I'm ready to go fishing.
That's understandable, but you were noticing that the entry ramp, and maybe there's a need for a dock or some kind of change.
Across the street where people used to park, that is now being developed as a private residence, so that's off the table. I noticed when I was there on Labor Day, there were a lot of people there using that property, and it's very crowded. Yes, I'm going to be proposing some improvements, for example, possibly having a concrete entry for putting in boats and kayaks, improving the parking space, more accessibility. I really love to see this. There were a lot of families there. They were using it for kayaking. And then there were parents there that had little kids with fishing rods wanting to fish. It's really a tourist venue and a residential venue also. But a lot of the tourists are there. As I fished there, I noticed people coming up from 64. They love to pull over and get out and just look at the lake like this is beautiful Highlands. And, of course, they want to have their photographs with their loved ones there. It's something that is happening there all the time, and people want to go look at the dam. And I just think we need to come up with a concept of improving that venue.
You brought up the Board of Health and the issues to be resolved. Can you go over some of those?
Well, I can't, because I read in the newspaper and keep up with it. I think a lot of people think that that's a town function. It is not. We don't operate a Board of Health like we don't do a lot of things that the county does, just like we rely on them to do building inspections. We don't have a building inspection department. So that's a critical board for the well-being of everybody in Macon County. I'm certainly hopeful, and I'm pretty sure that they will be able to resolve those issues and move forward to serve the community.
The Dahlia Festival, already over, the Heritage Festival, and the Film Fest through the 21st.
We're moving into a very active fall time of the year, starting off with the Bascom and the folks at the Dahlia Festival putting on that event this past weekend. We have the Heritage Festival that'll be coming up, celebrating our 150th founding of Highlands. We have the...
It's the first annual film festival. It's really
cool.
The first
annual,
now,
yes.
You were asked to do something, but you got something else that's going on.
Well, I know that there's going to be a premiere showing of The Gardener, a film that was filmed right here in Highlands. I know the McPhails were very supportive in allowing them to use their property for much of the filming, and then they use the downtown for part of the filming. And they will be having a reception for all the actors and producers on the 18th. I was invited to help host that reception. Sally, my wife, will be involved in that, but unfortunately...
You're busy?
I'm busy. I have a town board meeting right at the time that this reception will be taking place, but I do want everybody to support this new film festival. We've had iterations of film festivals here before. I remember going to see Western Carolina a few years ago at the PAC. Their Western Carolina Film Department showed films, and it was just really great. And I think that this is going to be an exciting format for this kickoff of the Highlands Film Festival.